Hello and welcome to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. It's our weekly program about all things Northern Nevada. I'm David Stipik, General Manager of KUNR. We begin today by spotlighting what's happening here at the University of Nevada, Reno. Are you familiar with TED Talks, the online videos of global thought leaders sharing their insights about our world? You can hear them each week on NPR's TED Radio Hour at 2 p.m. Sundays right here on KUNR. TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design, and since 1984, when the TED Talks began, they've expanded to many cities across North America, including the TEDx presentation right here on the campus of the University of Nevada, Reno. 2015 marks the third year for the program at the university. Next Friday, January 23rd, 20 speakers are scheduled to take the stage for a dozen or so minutes each and give their talks. Joining us to find out more about this year's program is Brett Simmons, curator of the TEDx program here at the University of Nevada, Reno. Welcome, Brett.
Welcome. Thank you.
Let's talk about next Friday's show. It's sold out, but will stream online all day at TEDxUniversityOfNevada.org. What can attendees and online viewers look forward to on Friday?
Well, they can expect to see an exciting event. This is, like you said, this is our third year, and our goal every year is to raise the bar and to try to provide a better event than we did the year before. And we started strong. We had a great event in 2013, another fantastic event last year, and we think this event this year will be as good, if not better, than what we've done before.
And this, we're going to talk a little bit about the topics covered, but a few notable names on this year's roster as I was looking through it. Barry Posner, author of The Leadership Challenge, best-selling business book from over the years. Mm-hmm. What's the angle for Barry?
Yeah, so Barry's interesting. Barry spoke at our event last year. And so one of the things I do is I always send my alumni speakers when we start the recruiting cycle, which will start again in May 2015, if you're interested. I always send an email to my alumni speakers and say, hey, if you know anyone, send them our way. And Barry said, you know, I'd like to do it again. you know, how do you say no to Barry Posner? We don't. So he's going to come back, and this year he's going to talk about credibility. And he was good last year. I expect him to be even better this year.
Another speaker of note, at least the name recognition, Lucy Flores, mm-hmm. Nevadan, emerging leader who ran for lieutenant governor. What's her topic?
Yeah, Lucy's going to she's going to be our first speaker of the second session. So if you want to hear Lucy, she'll be on just a little bit after 1 o'clock. And you know, she's got a great personal story. If you know anything about Lucy, it's you know, she had a really difficult teenage years, and her life really took a different trajectory when someone intervened and showed that they cared and set her on a different path, and she responded to that, and things turned out well for her. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what her talk is going to be about.
And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm David Stipik. My guest is Brett Simmons, curator of the TEDx program here at the University of Nevada, Reno, talking about the upcoming TEDx program. It's on campus next Friday, the 23rd. It's sold out, but you can check it out online all day next Friday. More information at TEDxUniversityOfNevada.org. A couple of other names that I'm, and that's the thing about these names. Some people would not be familiar mm-hmm. with the names if you just ran down the list, but a couple that I happen to know, Mignon Fogarty, mm-hmm. She's known as Grammar Girl. She's a Reynolds School Endowed Chair for Entrepreneurship at this point. Many listeners will be familiar with her Quick and Dirty podcast mm-hmm. and Grammar Girl. Is that what she'll be talking about, or a completely different take?
Yeah, I mean, Mignon is going to be great. I've watched her rehearsals. She's a fabulous person. Her talk is going to be about language and about how it changes, and don't hyperventilate when it does. just understand this has been going on for centuries. It just has looked a little bit differently over the centuries, but there's nothing new under the sun. And she just kind of goes into that, and it's a really entertaining talk.
And then one other name that stood out as I was looking through the list here, less known but powerful stories, for example, Nicole Hockley, mm-hmm. I believe it is, parent of a child killed at Sandy Hook mm-hmm. Elementary School in 2013. And obviously, an emotional, gripping story there, but why
yeah.
a TED Talk?
Yeah, she's our impact speaker. We always save our impact speaker to be the last speaker right before lunch because no one wants to follow that person. Last year, it was Elizabeth Smart who gave the most riveting 12-minute talk I've ever seen.
I saw that online. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah. And Nicole Hockley, again, I've rehearsed all these speakers, and when she in her rehearsal, it's a fabulous talk. It's well scripted. It's from the heart. It's not what you would expect, but it's going to be a high impact talk, and I think people are going to react to it.
All right. Those are just a few that stood out to me as I was looking through the list, either by their story or their name recognition. What stands out to you about this particular group of speakers?
You know, we have 20 speakers this year, and our goal was to for that 20 mix to be 10 local, 10 out of town. We ended up with 12 out of town and 10 local. Oddly enough, the local speakers are the hardest ones to find. Once you establish a reputation for your event, national speakers want to speak here. So we attract really good national speakers. On the national level, another name that I think is going to give a dynamic talk is Vincent Chiani. He just published a book on gays in the military, and he's a photojournalist. Took a lot of pictures, and so he's going to start his talk showing some of the photography that he took and the stories of his subjects in their own words. He'll be followed by a local guy here at UNR, Reg Stewart, who'll come on and give a really great talk on
diversity. Right?
Yeah. And then closing
out. He's the diversity officer here.
He's the diversity officer here on campus, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's got a great talk planned. It all fits right in there. And right behind him will be Jennifer Knapp. 10 years ago, if you listened to contemporary Christian music, everyone knew who Jennifer Knapp was. And she disappeared for a while, and when she came back, she appeared on Larry King Live and was announcing that she was a lesbian. And that kind of changed her career at that point. So she's going to talk about all those experiences that she's had, and she's going to sing three of her new songs, so that'll be great.
And speaking of music, in the past, I know you've had people performing, or not just talks. Besides this one, is there any other music involved, or any other acts or things that aren't speeches, aren't presentations?
Yeah, so we, in our very first year, we didn't really have any entertainment. And like you correctly pointed out, TED, one of the acronyms is for entertainment. Okay. Last year, we had one entertainment. We had a live jazz band from here on campus. Peter Epstein did that for us. And this year we really stretched to try to get more entertainers. The second hardest thing to find, oddly enough, is entertainers. And so both of them are from out of town. A fellow named Tim Snyder, who actually is from Reno but now lives in Portland, a recording artist. He will play at the end of the first session in the morning. Jennifer plays at the end of the third session in the afternoon.
You're listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm David Stipik. My guest today is Brett Simmons, curator of the TEDx program here at the University of Nevada. Next Friday, January 23rd, the TEDx Talks on Campus take place. Sold out event, but you can watch it online live at TEDxUniversityofNevada.org. Starts about 8:45 in the morning, runs till about 4 o'clock, and you can check it out for free. So, Brett, what does the selection committee look for? What does it take to be a TEDx speaker?
Well, I mean, the main thing is you got to have a big idea. And that's what we're looking for. We're not looking necessarily for professional speakers. In fact, professional speakers are oftentimes not the ideal speaker because they're used to speaking in an hour, speaking impromptu, and they, you know, they're pretty set in their ways. We need people that are moldable, coachable, because the TEDx format is the most different talk you'll ever give in your life. It's actually more of a performance than it is a talk. We require our speakers, once they get the big idea, we require them to write a script, submit the script to us, and then they're required really to memorize the script. And a good TEDx speaker will literally invest 40, 50 hours in their practice. Some of the famous TED Talks that have hit the big TED stage, they've spent around 100 hours rehearsing, practicing, so that when they take the stage, it doesn't look like it's memorized. It looks like this seamless little performance, but
spoken from the heart.
Spoken from the heart, but right. The process is an extremely well rehearsed type of thing.
Now, from your standpoint, is it complicated to produce it? You're talking about you have to rehearse them. Mm-hmm. You go through a selection process. Yeah. Talk a little bit just for the prep going into what you had to do prior to next week.
Well, I mean, there's a couple main phases. The first main phase is recruiting 20 speakers, and so I have a committee of folks that. That review all the applications, and they make the decision on the 20 speakers that we choose. We make sure those 20 speakers know what they're getting into, that they're committed to the rehearsals, because we require 3 rehearsals from everyone. So the second phase moves to the speaker prep phase, and that runs several months. We do our first speaker prep in October. So we start recruiting speakers back in May, June, because I want a speaker to know, if I can tell a speaker in June that you're going to be on the stage in January, all the better. because in October, you're going to do your first rehearsal.
Right.
So the more time you have to prepare for that first rehearsal, the better. In November, you're going to do your second rehearsal. In December, we want to see it as if you were doing it game day. So now you've got a whole 30 days to go away and work with your own folks to get ready. And so then the other phase is the phase we're in right now, and that's all of the last-minute logistics to get everything set up for the day of the event. And that's a small army of people here on campus and in the community.
So the TEDx Talks, Technology, Entertainment, Design, Ideas Worth Spreading is the tagline. How did the university here end up with a TEDx talk?
Yeah, in like March of 2013, I don't think I even knew what TEDx was. I was in Oklahoma City having dinner with a friend who I just met for the first time. And he was talking about, I think I'm going to get a TEDx license for my university. And I'm like, well, stop. What are you talking about? So he explained to me, you can get they do these TEDxes all over the world, and you can get a license to do one. You could do it actually in your living room if you wanted to. And I'm like, wow, that sounds really cool. I went back. As soon as I got home, I applied. 2 weeks later, I had a license. And then I went and asked for permission from my boss. And my boss embraced it. Dean Mosier embraced it wholeheartedly. And we didn't know what we were doing. And we were like, well, we're going to learn. We're off to the races. Yeah. We did our first event in 2013, and we learned a lot from it. Came back, reapplied last year. You have to reapply for your license every year, and it's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. They really go over it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure you followed all the rules because they protect their brand very carefully, which we like.
So as this one wraps up in just the next couple of weeks, you'll turn your attention to 2016. Think back just briefly. What are a couple of the highlights from the first few years?
The highlight we hit in our first year, we had a 13-year-old kid named Logan LaPlante.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who, I will tell you, was not even on our radar screen. Yeah. We're looking at all the talks in the first year, and we're thinking, oh, that's going to be a big talk. That's going to be a big talk. Well, this kid will be all right. And the kid got the formula, I'm telling you. He's a TED junkie. He knew the formula. He got up there and just blew it away. And he's got almost 8 million views.
I was going to ask what the total was because it was somewhere 3 or 4 million when I went and checked it out a year or so ago.
It's very near 8 million right now.
Wow.
So, I mean, it just goes to show you that you don't have to, you can be a 13-year-old kid as long as you have the right idea and you're well rehearsed, which is, I mean, that's the Logan LaPlante formula. And he taught me that in the first year. From watching his talk, I saw, okay, we got some work to do in year two. We need more people to do what he did.
So one final question for you here. You talked about the rehearsals and kind of the lineup. You've positioned people in certain places. How do you curate? You're the curator. How do you curate this? What goes into that planning or thought process?
Yeah, that's interesting. We sit down with the team after the event. And how'd it go? What do you think? What do you want to accomplish next year? The rough framework is still 20 speakers, 10 local, 10 non-local. We don't choose a theme because we don't want to put someone in a box. We don't want someone to look at the theme and say, oh, I've got something to talk about, but it doesn't fit the theme. Really, we're just looking for the 20 best talks we can find. And then we group them around themes. So we find 20 great speakers, and we try to say, okay, now, is there any common threads between five here and five there and these five? So we kind of let the theme emerge. Because when they're online, they're discrete events. The 200 people that experience it next Friday, they see it as a continuous experience. But the people that experience it online, it is a discrete event. Each video must stand on its own. One of the main reasons I do this is to increase the visibility of the University of Nevada and Reno. Because when 8 million people watch a video that was produced at the University of Nevada, those are 8 million eyeballs we might not have had before. Yeah. And so that is one of our very clear goals, is to create content that people all over the world will watch. And that content is branded with our name and the TEDx name. So we believe it's good for the university.
Brett, thanks for being my guest. Good luck with next week's TEDx program here on campus. Brett Simmons is the curator of the TEDx program here at the University of Nevada. It takes place next Friday, January 23rd. You'll be able to see it online from starting at about 8:45 a.m. till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll stream live. The event on campus is sold out, but you can check it out at TEDxUniversityOfNevada.org. Brett, thanks again, and hope you have some fun next week.
Oh, we will.
All right, all the best to you.
Yeah.
I'm David Stipik, and this is Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.